We are in the 6th district of Paris, near the Avenue de l'Observatoire, near the Luxembourg Garden.
Amandine Saint-Vicens is standing in a doorway out of the rain, looking out at the park in the middle of the avenue that 100 years ago would have been filled with horses.
In the First War, there were requisitions of a horse.
This was one of several areas in Paris that was used to requisition horses during the First World War. There's a large median between the two sides of the avenue, lined with trees. At the time, this is where horses from the neighborhood were sorted to be taken to be trained for battle.
Horses were trained in the Boulevard Jourdan in the 14th district. It was a big military building. All horses of Paris were sent on the war.
Sent to the war, to the front in northern France. Saint-Vicens takes out a booklet with photos from the time.
We have only this one.
In this photo, a man holds the bridles of two horses. A white one has an ID number painted on its shoulder. Two officers look at the animals, assessing them. The French army was desperate.
In France, one horse of four was requisitioned in the First War. And not only horses, there were also donkeys.
Historians believe the French army mobilized about 1.8 million horses, donkeys, and mules for the war. There were also dogs and pigeons. Saint-Vicens is spearheading an effort to put up a Paris memorial for the 11 million animals that died worldwide in the First World War. Ideally, it would be in a small plaza that's across the street from this requisitioning area.
We thought that will be great. They explain what was happened in the Avenue de l'Observatoire and then explain 11 million animals were used in the world. And then I love the sentence on the monument in London. They have no choice.
Eric Baraté is a historian who focuses on the relationship between people and animals. His book, Bêtes de tranchées, Animals of the Trenches, is a reference on the subject of the First World War. He says there were two types of animals. There were the so-called useful animals, like horses, donkeys, dogs, and pigeons. Dogs were first used to locate injured soldiers on open battlefields at the start of the war. Once the war moved into the trenches, that changed.
Most dogs starting in 1916 were used as messengers to bring a message from the front line to the rear, like messenger pigeons.
These were the useful animals. Then there were the animals used for companionship.
Cats, dogs, birds, goats, cows, etc. They weren't necessarily in the trenches at the front, but often at the rear, and they provided psychological comfort, a bit of kindness in a brutal world.
Baraté says that animals played a key role in the First World War, despite its being the world's first so-called modern war. Indeed, Maréchal Ferdinand Foch, the supreme Allied commander at the end of the war in 1918, was concerned about one thing.
He wasn't worried about having enough soldiers and tanks and cannons. It was whether he'd have enough healthy horses, which shows the importance of these animals. The First World War, as it was waged, would have been impossible without horses. It might have been better that way, that's for sure.
Baraté's research on World War I animals is based on personal writings of soldiers, because few archives remain today.
All the information about dogs, that has disappeared, I think mostly because the archivists must have thought they were not historical documents since they didn't involve people. So most of the documentation comes from writing, letters, novels, memoirs written by the soldiers. There were a few photos and many films which often allow us to fill in missing information.
Amandine Saint-Vicens and her group, Zoopolice Paris Animaux, did a lot of research on the animals in Paris. They went through the National Archives and the Paris Historical Library, and much of what they found was about dogs.
Because dogs are more appreciated, maybe, than other animals. But in numbers, there are more donkeys or horses.
There was a dog named Truc, who was trained as a medic in Paris in the 15th district. On the battlefield, he was captured by the German army.
This dog was kept hostage, and he succeeded to go in Paris.
A newspaper article from the time talks of the dogs zigzagging its way back to Paris, 130 kilometers away. Amandine Saint-Vicens would like there to be a plaque marking the building of the training center for medic dogs in Paris, because along with the general memorial to commemorate all the animals in the war, she and her group are working with local city councilors to have plaques marking specific sites. A few have already been approved, like one in the 14th district marking the main horse training center, though none have been installed yet. Eric Baraté says the horses were trained but pushed very hard. The French army had a horse mortality rate of about 40%. About 700,000 died. At the start of the war, France and Germany thought it would be short.
On n'a pas hésité à sacrifier des chevaux.
They didn't hesitate to sacrifice horses because it was worth it in order to win the war in 2 weeks.
World War I marked the birth of so-called modern warfare, with trains, trucks, and cars mobilizing people and supplies at the back. But horses were still the last ones at the front, and they were being asked to move with the speed and endurance of machines.
Notamment dans l'armée française.
Especially in the French army, these horses were pushed to walk several dozen kilometers a day, several days in a row. A century earlier, Napoleon would never have asked this of his cavalry. He knew very well that the horses would not have held up.
Il savait très bien que ses chevaux n'auraient pas tenu.
Baraté says that both the French and the German armies pushed their horses too much, which he says is why the war ended up lasting so long.
In 1914,
after the Battle of the Marne, the French generals want to take advantage of their victory to surround the German army and end the war as quickly as possible. The French army is unable to do it. Why? Because the horses are exhausted. The German army then tries to surround the French army and fails as well. Each one in turn fails, and they arrive at the English Channel. This is what is called the race to the sea, and the front becomes fixed, and 4 years of trench warfare follow, because the horses can't make it.
When talking about memorializing animals, there can be a concern about putting them at the same level as humans. But Baraté disagrees. Even people at the time saw themselves in the same situation as their companion animals.
Les gens de l'époque disaient que les animaux étaient leurs compagnons de misère.
People at the time talked about animals being their companions in misery. The novel All Quiet on the Western Front has an incredible passage in which the team can no longer stand the cries of injured horses. It becomes the symbol for the absurdity of the war, and that's not just a fictional description. I found many other accounts like this, soldiers writing about not being able to stand the cries of horses.
Amandine Saint-Vincent says that part of the goal of a monument commemorating the animals is to recognize that suffering.
And then we hope that a commemoration play a role in order to better consider animals, living animals, in our society.
Her organization, Zoopolis Paris Animaux, is an animal rights group which runs other campaigns. Though for the World War I animals, she wants to focus on their roles, not condemning their treatment.
It's too easy to judge now 100 years ago. So, of course, animals didn't have a choice, but it was the past. So now we want, most of all, the consideration of animals are better. Because, for example, in the war, we used a lot of pigeons. And, for example, in Paris, they were not considered. They suffer today.
If people see how useful pigeons were, she says, maybe they'll have a different take on them today. Of course, it's not easy to convince city officials that a memorial or commemorative plaques are necessary. Some do exist in the northern battlefields of France. Most of them were put up by the Allies, British or Australian. The city of Paris and local councils have been resistant, says Saint-Vincent, perhaps out of a fear of being seen as prioritizing humans over animals.
For example, in the 13th district, they refuse to vote a plaque. And the main reason is that we cannot put the same symbol for humans and animals. The plaque is only for humans and not for animals. For us, it's a really sign of misunderstanding the history, because we read a lot of testimony of soldiers and they wanted really something for animals. And also the French army gave medals to animals.
The memorial project does have the support of France's largest veterans group, the Souvenir Français, though its president, Serge Barcellini, warns not to mix up humans and animals.
Je ne veux pas qu'on confonde les animaux et les hommes.
Humans and animals are not interchangeable, he says. They're not the same. But we do need to remember the animals of the war. This is a shift. 20, even 10 years ago, he says, his organization probably wouldn't have backed such a memorial.
Il est évident qu'aujourd'hui nous avons une transformation de l'opinion publique.
It's clear there's been a shift in public opinion about animals, he says. Plus, he says there's been a shift in how people consider the war itself.
On est sorti d'une vision très guerrière.
Gone is the focus on just battles or war heroes, he says. Now there's a wider view, looking at support troops, women working, etc. And animals are part of this new approach. The centenary of the war is an opportune time to push for these memorials. The city of Paris has approved a main memorial, in theory. There's now a working group to determine what kind of memorial it'll be and what it will say. But Amandine Saint-Vincent says there's no timeline.
Our most fear is that the monument will not see the light before the elections in 2 years.
Indeed, local elections in 2020 could well change things up in Paris City Hall, which could reset all of these efforts. In the meantime, Saint-Vicence and her group will continue to work with local councillors to put up commemorative plaques where they can. Sarah Elzis, RFI, Paris.